ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
हरे कृष्ण. Welcome to all the devotees who've come together to get the nourishment from the Shastra. All the nourishment comes from the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, there's also the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the nectar devotion, but when we enter deeply within these sound vibrations from these books every single day, then there's an impression. As we just heard, the heart becomes purified because the vibration is from outside the closed system of the material world in which we hear about the current election cycle again and again. And nothing really changes because everything takes place by the control of the three modes of material nature. But those who have an inkling of ultimate reality, that the material nature is like a dark cloud. Tribir gunamayir bhavere bi sarvam idam jagat mohitam nami janati mamebhya paramavyayam. And everything in this cloud is dominated by these forces, the three modes of material nature. But they have their origin in the spiritual world. And there, those same energies, which are not perverted by the false egoism of the material world that I am the center, I'm the enjoyer, but are expressed as pure service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Those same forces become the source of knowledge, pleasure, and eternal existence. Sakchidananda, translated into the material world, they become Sattva-Rajas and Tamas, the binding force. And the process for freeing oneself from the binding force of these three modes of material nature is simply to hear about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, the mind may reject that out of hand and say, but I'm busy. That's the mode of passion. Or the mind may say, oh, I'm sleepy. That's the mode of ignorance. In the pure mode of goodness, one realizes that there is some benefit to transcendental activities. And by continuously hearing in a regimented way, at first through practice, this sadhana bhakti, one begins to experience for oneself the falling away of the influence, the slackening of the influence of the three modes of material nature, especially rajas and tamas. And at that time, one begins to scientifically understand, that is, one realizes how it all fits together, how the energies of the Lord are all working in various ways, and how there's a source to that original energy. And by associating with devotees and serving the pure devotees, there's a descent of grace. By Krishna's mercy, one can then be able to understand him because of dedicating oneself to the activities that Krishna recommends, which are non-different from Krishna. One associates with the Lord, and one also pleases the Lord through one's own volition to follow his instructions. And that begins a relationship. One can only understand a person through a relationship. You can't understand, as my good... you cannot understand a person by simply analyzing them. You can look at the statistics, but you won't be able to actually know their heart. To know their heart, you have to have a deep relationship in several ways, through servitorship, through friendship, through parental relationship, through conjugal relationship, any of these kinds of relationships that one enters into in the transcendental realm, that is, in relationship with Krishna, begins the process of revelation, because Krishna reveals himself to those who are his devotees. Therefore, he recommends, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru mami vaishyati sams. Sorry. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru mami vaishyati yuktvayam atmanama parayanaha. Just always cultivate this relationship with me. This is the sum and substance of bhakti. The sadhana practice is always cultivating the relationship with Krishna. How? Thinking of him, manmana bhava mad bhakto, and becoming his devotee. Everybody knows what it's like to become a devotee of someone, because in this world, even as children, we have various heroes, and it's like people go out and they nowadays they buy the specific jersey of the sports icon that they like the most, and they wear it around. You see people all the time with shirts that have the name of that athlete on the back. This is Mad Bhakto, become my devotee. And Madhyaji, do some worship. Worship me, which is natural, because that's our eternal constitutional position, to worship. You'll find it throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. When devotees come in contact with Krishna, they begin praying and worshiping through their words, offering something. If they're in the forest, they offer some flowers, some water, some tulsi leaves, anything they can. In the very beginning of Krishna conscious movement, devotees used to bring Prabhupada all kinds of odd things, because out of their heart they thought, oh, maybe Prabhupada would like this eagle feather or something. They'd bring him and say, here Prabhupada, this is my prized possession, some seashell. And Prabhupada would take it. One man offered Prabhupada some toilet paper. He was one of the locals who had noticed that there was a saintly person living in the Bowery. And he was an alcoholic, but he had some appreciation. He got some toilet paper, and he stumbled in the middle of class one day, and Prabhupada allowed him to come in. He put the toilet paper in the restroom, and he walked out, said a few incomprehensible words, and left. And this is the nature. When one sees someone who is meritorious, one wants to offer some service, some worship. So offer worship, Krishna, madhyaji nam namaskuru, and then bow down to me. This is something that is only felt when done. If one offers obeisances to the Lord, then one feels satisfaction within one's heart. Again, the mode of passion may say, I don't have time to bow down, I'm in a hurry, and so forth. But if you take the time to bow your head before the Lord or his representative, then you feel satisfaction within your heart. It feels like your right constitutional position. Once when I did Dandavat Parikram around Radhakund Shamakund, the first time I ever tried something like that, I made a pact with my godbrother that we would do this, and we met up in the Kartik season. It was during Purushottam Mas, during a September. I found some burlap sack lying by the side of the roads. I used that to put down and put my knees on, and started off falling flat on the ground. And there were millions of people, because it was Purushottam Mas, and there were all kinds of things all over the ground. And at first my mind said, are you really going to do this? You're from a suburb in Lafayette, California. We don't do these things. And after about 5 minutes of surrendering, I felt complete satisfaction, because as I was lying flat on the ground with my forehead pressed to the earth there in Radhakund, I felt I couldn't be in a better position than this. There's no safer, better position than this, and I felt completely satisfied. And similarly, I notice whenever I go on walking parikram around Govardhan, that people who are offering their dandavats as they go around always are satisfied. You never find anybody angry, out of sorts, get out of my way, like you do on the 101 freeway when people are driving to work and they're overwrought with all kinds of worries and cares and wondering how they're going to maintain themselves on the salary they're getting and with all the expenses they have. And if you accidentally come too close to their car, they'll become extremely angry and want to burn you to ashes. But out when people are offering obeisances to Krishna, if someone bumps into them, they say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, please forgive me." And in fact, when Bhrigu Muni kicked Lord Narayan said, "I'm so sorry, my chest is so hard, I hope I didn't hurt your foot." And when one connects to Lord Narayan, to Lord Krishna, through offering obeisances, that same feeling comes into one's heart of tolerance and humility and all the good qualities just by bowing down, namaskaru. And so Krishna says, without a doubt, if you just become my devotee, wear a shirt that says Krishna on the back, just like some of you have. This is like people, they go out and they'll get one that says, what's the name of the famous cricket player? Sachin, yeah. Sachin is God. They have these signs, and they'll have their Sachin shirt, you know, walk around. Who's that? Are you Sachin? No, I'm not Sachin, but I'm a devotee of Sachin. Sachin's devotee. I'm his best devotee. Everywhere I go, I think of Sachin. I talk of Sachin. And if Krishna says, yeah, just do that. Same thing you're doing already. Just do it for me. So get a shirt and put Krishna on the back. And it's like, what team's he with? People want to know in America. Well, Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He kills demons, he loves the gopis, and you can sing him this song, Jaya Radha Madhava. It explains all what he does, the day in the life of Krishna. So it's a similar, it's what we're all used to, it's what we're doing anyway, but instead of Sachin consciousness, then we have Krishna consciousness. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, we hear all the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One of them that's famous that we celebrate every year during the Kartik season is when Krishna, in a very sweet relationship with his mother, accepts chastisement from his beloved mother Yashoda. And it's very interesting how children become so dependent on their parents. They just expect everything from them because they're fully dependent. Children don't think twice about just taking whatever a baby just takes what the mother gives without saying thank you or anything like that. And the mother doesn't expect a little child to say thank you because the child's relationship is fully dependent, and the mother's relationship is that she's fully the protector and the supplier. This is the relationship that Krishna has with Yashoda. And there are many who gravitate towards this feeling, this relationship that Mother Yashoda has for Krishna, and they become absorbed in thinking about it. And especially during the Kartik time, we sing about this pastime and remember it again and again and worship Krishna in his baby form. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained how Nanda and Yashoda had a special project to find the best grasses. And then there was a select herd of cows that they would feed these very special grasses. And this milk was what they used to churn and make into yogurt and butter, specifically for Krishna, because they wanted him to have the best. Best of all the best. And they had this project going because they noticed Krishna was going here, there, and everywhere stealing butter. So they thought, we need to have ours be the best so he'll stay and take the butter and yogurt that we give him. So one day when Yashoda was boiling some of that milk on her stove, she was also feeding Krishna from her breast. He was sucking the milk very contentedly, and then the milk on the stove began to boil over. As happens oftentimes when one's cooking, no matter how expert one is, you can forget or it gets a little too hot and it starts to boil over. And when that happens, no matter what you're doing, you just drop it and run to the stove to turn it down because you put so much work into boiling the milk. And what to speak of this, in this instance, Yashoda and Nanda had taken so much trouble to get this very special milk, and they were boiling it down. Mother Yashoda's boiling it down, and now it was boiling over. So she unceremoniously put Krishna down from nursing and just ran off to the stove. After all, it was for Krishna that she was doing it. But Krishna didn't appreciate that, the nature of a child. And he became angry. And he picked up a little stone and he broke one of the butter pots. And there in a sulky, angry mood, he began giving away that butter to the monkeys. And then he noticed Yashoda was coming back. And he then realized that now I'm in trouble. Out of anger, I broke the pot and she's coming back. And so he scurried off. And Yashoda chased after him as if angry at him. And the song that we sing about this, that comes from the Padma Purana, it gives vivid description about the qualities of Yashoda and Krishna. In fact, there's a verse, not from the Padma Purana, from elsewhere, describes Raghupati Upadhyaya, who met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day, who is a great poet, entertained Mahaprabhu by reciting various poetry. In fact, Mahaprabhu, when meeting Raghupati Upadhyaya, said, recite some poetry. So he said many verses, but one of them was about how some people worship the Mahabharata and some the Upanishads out of fear of material existence. They take shelter of various literatures. He said, but I myself, I worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the Supreme Personality of Godhead is crawling as a little child. I worship Nanda. And this is the pinnacle of understanding. Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yaj gyanamadvayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. As we just heard from the second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are various aspects of the Absolute Truth. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, brahmano hi pratishtaham amritasya vyasya cha shashvatasya tatarmasya sukasya ikantikasya cha, that I am the source of the impersonal Brahman, what to speak of the Paramatma, which Srila Prabhupada calls the super spirit that dwells within everyone's heart. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam also we hear from Shukadev Goswami, itam satam brahma sukhanu bhutya dasyam gatanam paradayavatena vayashritanam naradarakena sakam vrijaru krita punya punja. Who knows that verse? Anyone else? It's a beautiful verse. You can learn that verse. In which it says that there are different, everyone's searching for Krishna in different ways. And so the impersonalists, because of their mentality and the way they search for him, they've come to the conclusion the Absolute is the impersonal Brahman. And for those who have this awe and reverence mood, they understand that the ultimate is Lord Narayan and Vaikuntha. And then those who are materialistic, they just think Krishna is an ordinary human being. And for those who have unusual good fortune, who have amassed heaps and heaps of spiritually based pious credits, they are playing with the Supreme Personality of God as a little boy. The coward boys play with Krishna all day long. No one likes to stop playing. And in the spiritual world, you don't have to stop playing. You just play all day long. In fact, the play of the coward boys is only punctuated, stopped at various intervals so that Krishna can do his routine work of killing a demon here and there. Other than that, they simply play and play and play. You like to play? Yeah. And you don't like to stop, right? So Krishna didn't like to stop either. Neither did his friends. And in the pastime of Yashoda chasing after Krishna in the courtyard with a stick in his hand, there's a very sweet understanding of devotional service, which had been explained by Lord Brahma in his prayers. actually it comes in the 14th chapter, in which he says that one should not try to speculate to understand Krishna. But if one begins the process of devotional service by hearing about him, stanestita shuti gatantanuvan manobir, ye prayaso jita jito pyasi taistrilokyam, then gradually the process of hearing about Krishna is so powerful that one will become a lover of Krishna, so much so that Krishna will be conquered by that love. And he who is unconquerable, ajita, becomes jitta, becomes conquered by Krishna's love. So as the pastime of Mother Yashoda chasing after Krishna in the courtyard unfolds, the devotees relish this and understand it through Shastra, what is happening. And that is, Krishna becomes willingly subservient to his devotee's love. Yashoda just sees Krishna as her little child. She's not thinking, I'm chasing after God. She's just thinking, my child is so disturbed that he was crying, he broke a butter pot, and she just wants to calm him down, really. She's chasing after him to hold him in her arms and appease him, but he's so disturbed and angry, he's running away and now in fear. And the devotees see this love of Yashoda has conquered Krishna, and he's playing as a little child who's afraid of Yashoda. She's carrying a stick in her hand. And when she finally catches Krishna, because Krishna agrees to be caught, although yogis chase after Krishna, as we hear in the Brahma Samhita, they can chase after him for tens of thousands of years by trying their various acrobatic yogic feats, but he remains far away. They can't reach him like that. But when one has love, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Nayam sukapo bhagavan, dehinam gopika suta gyaninam chatmabhutanam yata bhakti matam iha. Very important verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Vyankatabhata when he was describing the kind of devotion, the quality of devotion that actually conquers Krishna. Nayam sukapo bhagavan dehinam gopika suta. He said, there are some people that are just attached to the body. There are some people who are gyanis. There's some people who are great yogis. But none of them can capture Krishna. But yata bhakti matam iha, if someone has natural love for Krishna, spontaneous natural love for Krishna, then Krishna is conquered by that. And Mother Yashoda had this, she's the emblem of this natural spontaneous love. The highest emblem of love is the love of a mother for a child. It never stops. It goes on 24 hours a day. Even if in the material world, because there's all kinds of perversions, the child becomes a murderer, the mother will be there waiting for the child to get out of jail. And even if he never does, she'll just be pining for him all the time. The mother's love is so intense. And Yashoda's love for Krishna is this pinnacle of spontaneous love, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So when she catches him, when Yashoda catches Krishna, then what happens next? She tries to bind him. And does it work? Why? What are the circumstances, apparently, that it's not working? Rope is short by 2 inches. What an amusing pastime. All of the neighborhood women are watching Yashoda trying to bind Krishna, and every time she puts a rope around him and makes it longer by adding another rope to it, even ribbon from her hair, everything trying to tie together, and still 2 inches too short. And Krishna's power is inconceivable, because although he appears medium size, the Supreme Personality of God, it's still he's all-pervading. And his form is unlimited. It's not a material form. And he's the supreme mystic. He's Yogeshwara Yogeshwara. He's the supreme mystic of all supreme mystics. And in his playing with Mother Yashoda, he continues to elude being tied. And again she tries. Even the neighborhood women give her more cord and rope to tie, and still no luck. But when she sees that Yashoda is perspiring and trying her hardest to tie him up, Krishna agrees. And she's successful in binding him to the mortar. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, see another devotee wearing the shirt. You wear the shirt, says. In India, we wear the Sachin on the back, but here we put Prabhupada Krishna on the back. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives us some practical lesson from this pastime. This 2 inches too short means 1 inch is our endeavor to please Krishna, to serve Krishna. You make an endeavor. We have volition. We can move this way or that way. We have freedom to choose. We can get up out of the chair or we can sit there. There's a choice to be made. And as we continue to endeavor for devotional service, then Krishna meets us halfway. That's the other inch, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. 1 inch is our sincere endeavor. Krishna sees we're trying, we're perspiring even. And then he'll extend himself. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam pachatam priti purvakam dadami puti yogam tam yenamam upayantite. For those who sincerely try to worship me, to love me, I give the intelligence by which they come to me. So Mother Yashoda finally binds Krishna to the grinding mortar. And of course, when Nanda Maharaj comes, he's nonplussed. He's incredulous. Why did you tie him up? And this pastime is very sweet, but it also, as we see, has a lesson within it. One is that Krishna is conquered by his devotees' love. And the other is that we have to make our endeavor. As Prabhupada said about Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna gave him instructions, but at the end he didn't say, now you sit down on the chariot and smoke ganja, and I will fight for you. Prabhupada said, he didn't say that. He said, he gave instructions about what to do, what not to do. He said, now it's up to you. You fight. He didn't make him fight, but he said, I've given instruction. Ite sisi tata kuru. Now do what you wish. Now it's up to you. And so we can hear from the scripture, and then there's a great exhilaration. This is self-realization. Realizing that I have the freedom to take Krishna's words. Of course, first you have to hear them. That's why it's important to read Bhagavad Gita every day. If you could read the whole Bhagavad Gita every day, there would be no harm in that. You can't read it too much. It's not that, oh, you're overdoing it now. No. But if you actually read the whole Bhagavad Gita every day, even if you just read the verses every day and read a couple of purports, or you read many of the purports and a few of the verses, whatever you do, if you read Bhagavad Gita every day, you'll be well served. And it gives your intelligence the choice now, what to do and what not to do. Now the self-realization part comes. When you actually use your freedom to decide, I'm going to do what Krishna said. And as we win on that side again and again, day after day, we say, yes, I'm going to do what Krishna said. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to surrender. We develop that lifestyle of surrender to Krishna. And then Krishna reciprocates. And as Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavatam, he provides all the paraphernalia necessary for us to continue on our eternal path of surrender to him. Everything becomes manifested by his grace. And it all starts with one tiny surrender, and then another one, and another one, and another one. And then one's capacity to serve Krishna is increased because Krishna gives more intelligence how to do it. Krishna gives more paraphernalia. Paraphernalia, I'm speaking sort of in a generic way, but he gives good association. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. The wandering soul in this material world is ultimately served by meeting a saintly person. And then that, by that association with saintly person, then one gets Krishna more and more. And by Krishna, one gets more association with saintly persons. And the cycle goes on and on eternally. Mahat Sevam Dwara Mahurva Muktes. The door is opened to the ultimate goal of life by meeting a saintly people. So coming up is Kartik. You can remember this pastime again and again and meditate on it. Now, in the 10th canto, after Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna, then, deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna trees. So in this pastime, there are several very important lessons also, basic important lessons. And there are two sons of Kuvera, named Nalu Kuvera and Manigriva. And these two were born with wealth. And along with that comes a sense of entitlement. And also, because things come easily and one has access to whatever one wants, there's a possibility of becoming degraded. Degraded. There are various grades that one can aspire to in this material world according to the modes of material nature, and one can go beyond the gradations of life created by the modes of material nature. But if one doesn't take to the practice of devotional service, which Krishna describes in the Gita, mam cha yo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati taitan brahmabhuya yukalpate. Can somebody close that door out there, because there's some drilling or something going on. If one continuously practices devotional service, one actually rises above the grades of the material world, goodness, passion, and ignorance, and comes to the level of Brahman and lives a sublime existence. And if one forgets about this because of intoxication through wealth, fame, through beauty, if one has some of these things, one can then think, I've got it made. I'll just ride on this. Then one eventually is dragged down by the modes of material nature and becomes degraded. So Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, although coming from great parentage, because of their opulence and wealth, became degraded. And it's described how they surrounded themselves with beautiful women and they were intoxicated. That's another problem, this intoxication. If you have an accountant who's taking care of your hard-earned money, and you call him up and he says, oh, sorry, I'm intoxicated, I can't give you the report right now. Or, I made a mistake last year because I was intoxicated. Then you'll fire that accountant if you know what's good for you. You don't want an intoxicated accountant because he'll mess things up. And intoxication ruins everything. It gives one bad judgment. And our judgment is the most important aspect of our human existence, to be able to see what to do and what not to do. And that can be refined by hearing from Bhagavad Gita every single day. But if one takes intoxication, then one willy-nilly does stupid things. And stupid things lead to some serious results, becoming more entangled in the material world, regretting what one's done, and so forth. So Nala Kuvera and Manigriva were in a very bad situation. They were intoxicated already with wealth and their beauty, and then they started drinking some kind of designer drugs. I don't know what it was. Soma Ras or something like that. Designer drugs of the heavenly planets. And then they just lost their minds And there they were sporting with young women, and they were naked. In fact, all the women were naked. They were naked. I mean, it was just they had lost all bearings and gone completely crazy. That happens in the material world. But then, and Prabhupada describes intoxication in the material world. He said people, they'll drink alcohol, and they think, oh, I have gone to the heaven, Prabhupada says. But then they wake up in a gutter somewhere, or they wake up with a DUI, driving under the influence, and they lose their job. And it's actually a degraded kind of existence that leads to dire consequences and more entrapment by the modes of material nature. So when Narada Muni came along and saw these sons of Kuvera, respectable family, sons of the treasurer of the demigods Kuvera, the lord of wealth, and there they were sporting like this, he, out of compassion for them, cursed them. Because as he approached, all the women there immediately dressed themselves. They had some sense of decency. That's lacking sometimes. A degraded situation is one doesn't have a sense of decency. In fact, during the trials, the McCarthy trials in America, it's a dark part of history in the American saga. There was a scene that unfolded in a courtroom somewhere where one of the defendants in the trial, or one of the opposing attorneys, said to the attorney of McCarthy, who was persecuting people, invading their privacy and so forth, said, "Have you no decency?" Immortalized phrase, "Have you no decency?" It's important to have some sense of decency, what's right and what's not right. And they lost that sense. And the women dressed themselves very quickly, whereas Nalukuvera and Manigriva forgot themselves out of intoxication by wealth and by drinking. And so Narada saw what was happening. And using his anger, not losing his anger, his temper, but using it, and everything he does is purposeful, he cursed those sages, Nalukuvera and Manigriva, those sense enjoyers. And he told them that you like to be naked like this, then you take birth as trees. And, of course, you'll notice that throughout the Bhagavatam that great things are always preceded by a sage cursing. Practically, as far as I can tell, it's almost 100% of the time. The plot moves forward by a sage cursing. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. Narada Muni cursed Nalukuvera and Manigriva, said, "You become Arjun trees." But, he said, you'll be Arjun trees in Vrindavan. And there you'll be able to witness the pastimes of Krishna. And you'll be delivered by Krishna personally. Now this is very important, and much is made of this. Maybe I can find the section really quickly. That because Narada spoke these words, later on when Krishna was performing his pastimes, in fact, it's related to the previous pastime because Yashoda had bound him to the grinding mortar. Well, Krishna dragged that, and it locked in between what are called the twin Arjun trees, which are actually Nalukuvera and Manigriva. And just as a little baby, Krishna pulled on that mortar so hard, using the rope, and he was attached to the mortar, that the two Arjun trees came crashing to the ground. And one year when I was driving out to Prabhupada's disappearance day ceremonies through Vrindavan, Dinabandhu Prabhu, the great Pandit Sadhu of Vrindavan, who's lived there for many, many years, was pointing out various kinds of trees to me as we drove through the Vraj. And he showed me what Arjun trees look like. And he said, they're the strongest trees in Vrindavan. Robust, impossible to knock down. But Krishna, just by his otherworldly strength, pulled these two Arjuna trees down to the ground, and they came crashing down just on either side of him. You can imagine how alarmed Yashoda and all the residents of Vrindavan were that Krishna was playing there and with these two gigantic trees that had smashed to the ground. And I'm going to read 10:10:25. And in this verse, I'm going back just a little bit to where Narada Muni is contemplating what to do for Nalakuvera and Manigriva. And he says, although these two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuvera, I have nothing to do with them. Devarshi Narada, excuse me, I'm not jumping ahead. The point I'm making is that Narada had spoken the words that these two sons of Kuvera, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, will take birth as Arjuna trees and then Krishna will deliver them. So because he spoke the words, when Krishna is performing his pastime, he saw the two trees, he made a detour specifically to pull these trees down. And here he is reasoning, giving his reasons why he's pulling the trees down. That's what it is. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to fulfill the truthfulness of the words of the greatest devotee Narada, slowly went to that spot where the twin Arjuna trees were standing. This is 25. Although these two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuvera, I have nothing to do with them. Devarshi Narada is my very dear and affectionate devotee, and therefore, because he wanted me to come face to face with them, I must do so for their deliverance. Purport, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva actually had nothing to do with devotional service or seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, for this is not an ordinary opportunity. It is not that because one is very rich or learned or was born in an aristocratic family, one will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. This is impossible. But in this case, because Narada Muni desired that Nala Kuvera and Manigriva see Vasudeva face to face, the Supreme Personality of Godhead wanted to fulfill the words of his very dear devotee, Narada Muni. If one seeks the favor of a devotee instead of directly asking favors from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is very easily successful. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore recommended Vaishnava Thakur Tomar Kukur Vaishnava Thakur Tomar Kukur Bhuliya Janaha More Krishna Krishna She Tomar Krishna Dite Param. Two different bhajans. One should desire to become like a dog in strictly following a devotee. Krishna is in the hand of a devotee. Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau. Thus, without the favor of a devotee, one cannot directly approach Krishna, what to speak of engaging in his service. Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Chadiya Vaishnav Sheva Nishtar Payeche Keba. Unless one becomes a servant of a pure devotee, one cannot be delivered from the material condition of life. In our Gaudiya Vaishnav society, following the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, our first business is to seek shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, Adau Guravashrayam. So this is one of the great lessons of this pastime, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. It's instructive that because the pure devotee spoke these words and said, you'll be delivered by Krishna, Krishna took it as his obligation to deliver them. And therefore, those who know this principle align themselves with the pure devotees and try to get their blessings through service, because they know that Krishna is Krishna obligates himself to his devotees. As he says in the Gita, Shri Pram Pavati Dharmatma Shachvash Chantim Nagachati Kaunteya Pratijanihi Nami Bhaktya Pranashati. This is a declaration by Krishna, my devotee will never be vanquished. And he says it to Arjuna, you declare it. Because it's known that because Krishna sometimes breaks his promise to appease his devotees, like he said he wouldn't fight in Kurukshetra, but to please Bhishma, he fought. Everyone knows Krishna will break his promise because he wants to please his devotees so much, he'll break his promise. So he told Arjuna, you say it. You declare it, Arjuna. And now Arjuna declares it, and then it's effect to the end of time, because Krishna always honors the words of his devotees. And therefore it's said in the prayers by the demigods to Lord Krishna within the womb, that the sure way, kurvanti govatsa padam pavabdim, that by following in the footsteps of the pure devotees, one is able to cross easily over the ocean of material existence. If one takes the process given by the great acharya devotees and follows that process, then the insurmountable ocean of material existence shrinks down to the size of the water contained within the hoofprint of a calf. In fact, it's said that the great devotees leave behind them a boat so that we can cross over the ocean of material existence. And what is that boat? The Shastra says that boat is the process that they leave. They say, do like this. And they authorize it. They say, follow this process. Authorized process. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. Follow what the great Mahajans and the Acharyas have given. Then the boat is available for everyone. In fact, the Shastra says the Acharyas make that boat so they can easily cross the ocean of material existence. But then they give that boat in the form of their instructions for everyone else to cross. But it's so powerful that if one simply approaches the boat with the intention of getting in it, then the ocean shrinks and one can easily step over the ocean of material existence. That's how powerful the process of devotional service is. So the words spoken by the pure devotees of the Lord have potency. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came as a devotee, spoke these words that everyone, everywhere, take up the Krishna consciousness movement, spread it all over the world. Everywhere you go, everyone you meet, teach them about Krishna. And if one simply tries to follow those instructions, one's life will become sublime. Everything about one's life, of the life of one who tries to fulfill this order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is acting as a devotee, will become perfect and completely spiritualized. And we see that this is the way that the devotees move towards perfection. And in the famous verse about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and about Lord Krishna and about Ramachandra, which is all in one verse, that verse says, Tektva sudusya ja surepsita raja lakshmin, dharmishta arya vachasa yada gadaranyam, mayam ragum tayita ipsitam anvadavan, vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. This verse describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I'll go to the most important part. In the verse, it's described, Aryavachasa Tadagadaranyam, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he had no need to take sannyas because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, completely independent, swatantra, on the words of an angry Brahmin who couldn't get into Srivasangam because it was locked to outsiders. And the next day when he saw Chaitanya, when he saw Nimai Pandit down at the Ganges, everyone was taking their bath in that similar area, the Brahmin came to him and cursed him and said, I curse you, you'll never be able to enjoy material life. And Nimai Pandit became jubilant upon hearing this. And he used that as an excuse to take sannyas. This is what's called Arya Vachasa, the words of the Arya, this superior person, the Brahmin. So he took sannyas. He said, he spoke it, that's done. Have to do. That's how powerful the words of the Brahmanas are, powerful the words of the devotees. And for Ramachandra, when his father, even under duress, which may not have held up in court, because if you give a statement under duress, it can be reversed. Let's ask our attorney. Is that true?
Yes.
Thank you. confirmed. Ramachandra's father, who told Ram he had to go to the forest and give up the kingdom, give up his claim to the kingdom and just go to the forest. Dasarath, under the pressure of Kaikeyi calling in her boons, was forced to do this because he was a truthful person. He was an Arya. And so he told Ram, go to the forest. And Ram said, okay, I'm going to the forest. I take it. I'm going. And when Bharat and all the armies of Ayodhya came there to, and all the Brahmins, everyone came to bring Ramachandra back, said, please come back, please come back. He said, my father spoke it, I'm not coming back. This is what Prabhupada describes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the life and soul of the devotees. When one becomes aligned in the disciplic succession and gets the instruction from the spiritual master about what to do to please Krishna throughout his or her life, then, just as Ramachandra took the words of his father, and no matter who said what, he said, I'm following the words of my authority, and that's it. He wouldn't come back. Arya Vachasa, the words, take the words given by the saints. Take the words given by Krishna. They're powerful. In fact, it's mentioned in the Bible in the beginning was, as it says, the modern translation, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and so forth. And there's an implication there that even before creation, there's the Word, and by the Word, the whole creation takes place. Similarly, even before the world's created, there's the utterance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eko Bahu Shyam, the one shall become many, and there's manifestation. From words, there's manifestation in this world. Words that are generated from the modes of material nature create more entanglement. But those words which come from scripture and from the pure devotees of the Lord, who carry the Supreme Personality of God within their heart, even more importantly, they carry pure devotion to the Lord within their heart. And when those words, when pure devotees utter those words, one should try to be in front of them. Try to get where those words are coming out. That's the great secret of bhakti. Because one should know that those words have potency. And if you can just get yourself there and sit in front of them and let them enter your ears, and then use your volition, your God-given free will to carry out the instructions that you hear from those words. As Prabhupada said, he first met his spiritual master. He was offering obeisances, and before he even got up, his spiritual master was telling him, you should preach this all over the world. I mean, he hit him with those words so fast that he didn't have time to get out of the way. Not that he wanted to, but that's the power of pure devotees. They'll just see someone, and by Krishna's arrangement, they'll say, oh, this person is special, and he'll say, you should teach Krishna consciousness in the Western world. You're educated. Make it available all over the world. Those words touched him immediately, and they incubated in his heart. He kept them close. Even though he wasn't able to fully enact what his spiritual master had said, he kept them close. He kept them on an altar in his heart, and he said, these words are my life and soul. And later on, he said, Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that in writing the commentary on Bhagavad Gita, he came to this verse in the second chapter of Gita, Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka hyanantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam. And this verse says that one who is resolute in purpose knows the goal of Krishna consciousness and sticks to it. Those who don't have that goal, they become diverted in many different ways, unlimited ways, bahushaka. And in the commentary, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that this really means that one should attach oneself to the words of one's spiritual master and make those the life and soul. So Prabhupada said this was the genesis of my success in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. I took the words of my spiritual master as my life and soul. And even though he wasn't able to immediately carry them out, they were his guiding force. And eventually, by Krishna's arrangement, everything became available to Srila Prabhupada to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. So one of the great lessons in this story of Nalakuvera and Manigriva is this jewel of a verse in which Krishna is thinking out loud that because my devotee spoke these words, now I'm going to make a detour and assist these devotees and I'll liberate them on behalf of Narada Muni. So get in front of those words and take them in, note what they are, and keep them on the altar of your heart and worship them and make your decisions based on those. And if you do that, then your life will become perfect. Second lesson. And then the third one, which I'll mention quickly so we have time for some reflections, is in the pastime of Krishna's routine work of killing demons, and he kills the demon Bakasura. All glories to all the devotees on the internet who have joined us this morning. Everyone, please say Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Bakasura was a large bird, like a duck. And he came during a time when Krishna and his friends were playing, and it was a gigantic form and attacked Krishna, one of Kamsa's friends, and he swallowed Krishna. But when Krishna got down his throat, this Bakasura demon experienced a burning sensation in his throat, and he was forced to regurgitate Krishna. And there's a lesson in this, which Prabhupada brings out in his commentary, in which he says that the Krishna is sweet and beautiful, but if one has animosity towards Krishna, then he'll experience Krishna as a burning sensation, just as this demon did. Krishna's the sweetest thing there is. Madhuram madhuram vaparasya vibhur madhuram madhuram varanam madhuram madhuram madhuram. Sweet, 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 everything sweet about Krishna. But if my attitude is wrong, if I have a challenging attitude, or if I'm averse to Krishna, like these, like the demon Bakasura, then Krishna will, I'll experience Krishna to be distasteful, even burning. And so we have to remember this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, which Prabhupada quotes when he mentions this. Ye yatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajami aham mamavart manuvartante manusha parta sarvasha. However I surrender to Krishna, however I approach him, that's how Krishna will reciprocate. So if we remember this principle, we'll be well served in our lives, that follow the words of the great sages, follow the scripture, work hard for Krishna, and surrender to him. And if I completely surrender to Krishna, then Krishna becomes the sweetest. If I chant Hare Krishna when I'm in a surrendered state in my life, then it becomes the sweetest of sweet sound vibrations. And the activity itself becomes so compelling that, as Rupa Goswami says, one prays to have millions of ears. However, if one is distracted, not surrendered, not following the process, then chanting becomes a great labor. It feels like one's throat is burning. How quickly can I finish this? How long does each round take? Hours and hours, it seems. But when one has this sweet taste through surrender, then one feels, let me chant forever. Let me not stop. Please don't let it end. Please don't let anybody interrupt me. When one has no taste for chanting japa, one's thinking, would somebody please come and interrupt me? Anything, from any direction, please come and interrupt my chanting so I can stop this burning sensation, just as Bakasura experienced the burning of Krishna within his throat. So if we surrender our lives and have this attitude that I'm helpless and pray to Krishna, then we'll experience the sweetness. So three lessons. One was from the story of Mother Yashoda binding Krishna, and that was that there's 2 inches, and that if we give our level best, even though it seems impossible, that Krishna will extend himself to us. He's there waiting to give that other inch to us. He's waiting to see what is our intention, how much are we willing to sacrifice to serve him. The second is that from the story of Nalakuvera and Manigriva, is that the words of the pure devotees are all-powerful. Get in front of them. Hear those words. Take them into your heart. And that is the safe path on devotional service, to follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas, acharyopasanam. Don't take the words of mental speculators. They change all the time. Studies that are confirmed are deconfirmed. Is that a word? 2 years later, 5 years later. But the words of the scripture are forever true. The words of the pure devotees are backed by Krishna. FDIC, backed. Don't go for bad investments. Take the words of the pure devotees in the scripture. And the third is that as we surrender to Krishna, he rewards us accordingly. And the greatest wealth in life is developing a mood of surrender to Krishna and actually doing it. Because then Krishna reciprocates, and one can get no greater wealth in this world than this personal reciprocation of Krishna within the heart. That person becomes the wealthiest. So now we'll take a few reflections. Sorry I didn't leave much time, but we chanted a lot of shlokas this morning because it's necessary. We have to chant a lot of shlokas. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Lots of fun, but I'll just keep short. At the second point, when you told that words of pure devotee are very powerful, so I was hearing one of your lecture, and you say that how Srila Prabhupada has told that, kindly help me, and that words are so powerful, those whoever help Prabhupada, as such, he doesn't need any help, but whoever given their life, they are really...
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, it's a lifeline. Kindly help me and say, okay, I'll help. You're in. That's it. You're in. It's the way to advance. Aditya.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. In the beginning, you quoted Bhagavad Gita 9.34, Manmana Bhava Madhvato, and you were explaining how always cultivating a relationship with, how one should always try and cultivate a relationship with Krishna. And also you also mentioned about how someone is a devotee of Sachin, so one already does, one is a devotee of something else, so better transform it to Krishna, be a devotee of.
It's easy to understand our ultimate path of devotional service, which is described Tanama Rupa Charitari Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasi Nyoja Tishtan Vraje Tananu Ragi Jananugami Kalam Nayed Akilami Tupadesha Saram. We have to become fans of the spiritual world. If you. Cricket, I mean, I hate to make an aparad. I know I'm about to disappoint a lot of people. I have the benefit of never growing up, I never threw a cricket ball in my life. I only saw one once. My childhood friends, the Courses, who Richie Corsa brought me back to Guided Magazine. There were 7 kids in the family, and their father worked in public health. He went to Karachi. He was stationed there for a few years, and they went over there and they brought back a cricket bat and a cricket ball, and they brought it back to California, and we all looked at it and goes, that's really weird, you know. And the only other cricket match I went to was in Australia. My friend Pratapana picked me up and said, you got to see a cricket match. And I said, I do? And he said, yeah, check this out. It was late in the game, so there was no ticket. We just walked in, sat in the stands, and watched for about half an hour. They stopped halfway through and had tea or something. Did they do that?
Yes.
I was like, wow. So, and I looked at it and I realized that all these sporting activities are actually ridiculous. It's just that you identify with certain things. And so the way in which, the same way in which we become absorbed in following characters like Sachin, and now there's Curry mania here in the Bay Area and all over the world because this Steph Curry is a famous basketball player, and so many people who I see everywhere I go with these shirts say Curry on the back. And like, does that mean like the spice? And that same fervor, Tishtan Rajetanan Ragi Jananugami, one, as Prabhupada describes at the beginning of these pastimes from Mother Yashoda, said it's that same kind of devotion that one has in the material world. But for Mother Yashoda, one remembers that she's wearing a sari that's yellow saffron, yellow and saffron mixed, remembers how her hair is kept, remembers how she keeps the flowers in her hair, remembers everything she does. This is Tishtan Vraje Tananuragi Jananugami. There's a point at which, after hearing for a long time, maybe lifetimes, but intensely becoming a devotee of Vraj and the devotees in Vraj, then one actually develops the same kind of attachment, only it's spiritual and it's much more intense, and it internalizes, and one cannot stop thinking about that particular devotee of Krishna. And from that, one begins to imbibe that particular mode of devotional service to Krishna. It's a very understandable kind of process. And by that particular kind of devotion, one comes to know everything about Krishna. Because as I said earlier, one only understands a person by a deep, loving relationship in a particular mode. You can't understand Krishna by jnana, you can't understand him by yoga, but Krishna, it says in the Bhagavad, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Adyam Puranam, Purusham, Navayovanam cha, Vedeshu, Durlabham, Adurlabham, Atmabhakto. That if you become a devotee of Krishna, that means relationship. That means Sachin madness. Instead of Sachin, then it becomes Sachidananda. Sachin becomes transformed into Sachit. Then one can actually begin to understand Krishna. And it's accessible by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sages are looking and saying, you're giving that out to those people? To people, even somebody at a Donald Trump rally could get this. This is what is saying in the Shastra. Even during Kali Yuga, during a Donald Trump rally, the most misguided person. Of course, everyone's misguided in the material, but I'm just picking a specific example for color, flavor. No offense to Donald Trump or any of his followers, but anyone from any position of life who's caught up in material activities could actually come to understand this by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And that's an amazing thing, because it's this kind of refined understanding and devotional service is kept only for the most advanced kinds of people who come from the highest kinds of culture. Yes?
I was just reading a note, how they give this example in parenting, that in Pacific Islanders, if they cannot cut a tree, what they do is every day early morning between 4 to 5, lots of people go in front of the tree and they curse the tree. And for a few days they do that continuously, and then the tree would fall off automatically. So I was just thinking how the soul responds to the negativity. Like that, when we were reading verses in the morning, I was just thinking how fortunate we are that these verses, by hearing them, we grow in spiritual life.
That's nice. I am a bad person. I'm a good person. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was known, there was a ghost living in a tree, and he sat and read Bhagavatam there for many, many days, and the tree cracked and the ghost fled. And yes, we're described as ghostly haunted when we have some desires that are averse to devotional service. And if we simply hear again and again, through and in the beginning in a regimented way, but as we continue, there'll be some taste, and then it will become an addiction. You have to become addicted to hearing about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And that's why Prabhupada stopped to make available the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which is not different from Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. It's just in a different mood. It's Audarya mood. And then he stopped writing the Bhagavatam commentaries to give the summary of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, because you have to hear Krishna book. You have to hear these pastimes in Vraj and become a devotee of them and think about them all the time. That's your consciousness has to be saturated. Akurnath Prabhu.
Okay, thanks. I was thinking about this point, Tishtan Braje Tadanaraga, that in other religions in the world, or at least here in America, they know about Christianity and they talk about how they have an idea, the kingdom of God, people go to the kingdom of God, if you go to heaven, but the idea is kind of like vague. And then they have a process, you accept Jesus in your heart and you accept him as your savior and you believe in him and you walk in righteousness and so forth. But when you ask them, like, what's God look like, they say, oh, he's a spirit. There's like this vague idea that people are on clouds with harps or something like that. But in this process of this Hare Krishna movement, they're really training people how to live in the kingdom of God and even describing who lives there, what they're doing, and we can follow in their footsteps and learn how to do it that way. So I think that if you examine world religions from that perspective, there's something really unique here, that there's such a practical and concrete description of, like we say, Krishna, who's Krishna's mother and who's his father and what's his address and his name and so forth. And that's very impressive to me.
Yeah, something very daring about what Prabhupada did is to bring out Krishna and say, here's God, take it. Here's the conception of God, take it. And other people were saying, well, there's so many different conceptions of God. And Prabhupada would say, okay, say what it is. And they say, well, you can't really say. Then Prabhupada would say, then take this, because if you can't say it, we'll say it. But it's not something sentimental. Behind this are millions of examples, logical presentations to help one step by step extricate oneself from the bodily conception of life, and which also explain how the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are working. Nothing is left unexplained by the great acharyas like Jiva Goswami as an example. The acharyas leave nothing to sentiment, they leave nothing to speculation. And therefore, one who goes through the various categories of study through each canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam after and during one's intensive and daily study of the Bhagavad Gita comes to have clear scientific knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore unshakable faith, and therefore unshakable practice of pure devotional service. And this is the purpose of human life. So we can again and again hear these pastimes and mine them, just as it is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy were compared to miners. And again they were going to the mountain of Krishna Katha and pulling out gems, finding veins of pure gold, and becoming wealthier and wealthier. This is our great wealth, to hear and chant and to become very well acquainted with the philosophy, to practice it in our own lives so that we realize it, and to develop a taste for not only chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but also hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to become very well acquainted with the 12 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And by doing that, Anarto pasanam sakshat bhakti yoga madhoksaje lokasya ajanato vidvams chakre safata samhitam. We will have realized the purpose for which Srila Vyasadeva wrote it, which is to give us a direct linking process to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through which we can actually attain the goal of life. Om Tat Sat. Go Premanande Adibo! So thanks to everybody who joined us from various locations around the world. Thanks for all the devotees that, even though it's been a very busy week, now I said my very sad goodbyes to His Holiness Radhanath Swami this morning. He was flying out at about 11 o'clock. He's probably at the airport now, but he left my house, I think, at 9:30, but I had to leave at a little after 7. And he said...
Hare Krishna Prabhu?
Yes?
I had a couple of questions if we have time now. This is Rajesh from Folsom.
From Boston?
Folsom.
Oh, Folsom. Of course. Just let me finish this one thought, and that was that Maharaj said to thank everybody in the whole community for the way that you all came together to work so hard to give facility for His sublime preaching everywhere He went. He didn't stop even for a moment. I observed how he would, although tired, although without much sleep or anything like that, he has such a taste for delivering the message. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go on and on and go to the next program. But he was especially pleased with how organized everything was and how hard everybody worked in the whole community to make this possible. So that was what he asked me to tell you before he left. Prabhu, go ahead. Just one question.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu. And sorry to interrupt your thought process. We talked about the Damodar pastime of Lord and Yashoda Mata finding rope always 2 inches short. And we explained, you explained that the first inch was our endeavor to go towards Lord, and the second inch is Lord's mercy as He reciprocates. And we also talked about when after Bhagavad Gita, Lord asked Arjuna to fight and do his part. So on the second instance, I recall that when Draupadi was humiliated in Kuru assembly, she was doing her endeavor, but when she surrendered fully, then Lord reciprocated her. So how do we kind of conceive these two different occasions? One was when we are doing something, and the second instance is where we are surrendering completely. So there's little confusion there I am having.
It's not that doing something is mutually exclusive from surrendering. In fact, the surrender process described as active. Accepting those things favorable, rejecting those things are unfavorable. Depending on the Lord as one's only protector and as one's only supplier. And also becoming meek and humble in all one's activities. And surrendering everything to the Lord, giving one's very self, Atma Nivedanam. We do live in a body, we do have senses, they are always active, and by engaging those senses in the process of surrender, Sharanagati, we actually enact the process of surrender. So it's not that surrender is something amorphous, or it's a feeling, or something like that, but it's demonstrated through our daily activities. And therefore, it's not like two separate items.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Thank you. So today we have, I heard, and hopefully it'll come to be, there's a busload of devotees coming here. Manaram Prabhu grew up in the Krishna Consciousness Movement. His mother is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Of course, now I think he's in his 40s. We say he's the Vaishnav Youth Director. And he points out, I heard him speak very eloquently about this, how important it is for a movement, and especially ours, to have a youth movement within it. We have to actually give the youth full facility to practice Krishna consciousness, and we have to do it in a way that's relevant to them, and not just expect them to grab hold without us giving special facility. So he's been very active in that. He takes tours of young devotees all over the world on this bus that will be coming here to ISV within a few minutes, I think. They're supposed to be here by 10. And they go to various places to do seva, to learn different devotional arts, and they have a lot of fun on the way. And today, from what I heard, there's maybe 30 devotees coming. And we're going to have a little seminar for them about book distribution, and then we're going to take them out to various places around this area to see book distribution for themselves. Hare Krishna. Where did you come from? From where? San Francisco. Please welcome. What kind of vehicle did you come in? Oh, you came in a car. Okay, good. Good to see you. Welcome, welcome. Hare Krishna. All right, so the bus should be here anytime soon. Thank you very much, everyone. Vancha kalpadurvascha kripasandabhevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha gopremanande nitai gaura haribo 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 nitai gaura haribo nitai gaura haribo 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 nitai gaura haribo. Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.